So instead of dismissing all of mankind's sin, what does he do? He himself assumes all of mankind's sin. How? God sentences himself. Are you with me?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday, and thank you so much for tuning in as we begin a new week of Bible study. Pastor Bill's study in the New Testament epistle of Romans continues this week, and today's message is entitled, Justified. Now let's listen in.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 3 this morning. Romans chapter 3, we're going to be in verse 21. This is finally one of the most important areas in Scripture that we're coming to this morning. As you already know, if you're visiting with us, we're doing an in-depth study of Romans on Sunday morning. And for the last six Sundays, what we've learned is that all of mankind, from Adam all the way to the people that are being born right now at the hospitals, the little babies, everyone is born guilty in the eyes of God. Amen? All mankind, there's not any. So from verse 18 of chapter 1 all the way to chapter 3, verse 20, God proves in his word that all mankind is guilty. Like it says in chapter 3, verse 9 there, it says that all are under the dominion of sin or the power of sin, the cruelest master ever in all of the universe. It says in 3:19, it says all the world stands guilty before God. And as we will see this morning in verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Remember that God does not hate the sinner. He hates sin. He abhors sin and all that sin has done. And over again, I have repeated the theme of the book of Romans, which of course is the good news of the gospel. The theme is, of course, the righteousness of God as well. So with the exception of the first 17 verses of the very first sermon that I preached, all you've heard actually is bad news. But the bad news is vital because we would never understand what God has done, what God has saved us from, and the incredible grace that we have received. Amen? Now, with all that being said, this morning, we finally arrive at the good news, and we arrive at the absolute greatest paragraph in all of the Word of God. And when believed upon in the heart and confessed with the mouth, it immediately produces a new creation in Christ where old things have passed away, all things become new. And Christian, listen to me. Don't let your mind wander this morning. You need this teaching, especially this morning. Any believer who will embrace these scriptures, and if you will build your life upon them, you will stand immovable until the very end of your days. That's how important these verses are. The reason I say that is that fallen man, as we've learned, they're hopeless. They have no defense before God. And here God is going to change everything. If fallen man, lost man, is going to finally be saved, only God can do it. Like Job said in Job 9:2, he says, how can a man be righteous before God? How can a man be declared in perfect right standing before a thrice holy God? That is one of the greatest questions that anyone can ask. How can I have that right relationship with God? Because God demands that our righteousness be equal to his own. And yet, we can't do that because we have no righteousness to offer God, because all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen? Now, with all that being said, this righteousness, what is the answer? Well, the righteousness that we need is only from God, and it is a righteousness that is revealed. Remember that God is the source. There's no one else. He is the source of all righteousness, and what God demands from fallen man, he makes an offer to fallen man. He offers him the perfect righteousness of Christ, beginning in verse 21. Now, let's look, we're going to talk about the word justified this morning. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is manifested, or it is revealed, it's made plain, being witnessed by the law, meaning sacrifice after sacrifice through the Old Testament and even to the prophets as well. Now, this righteousness that we're talking about this morning is not necessarily talking about a righteousness such as behavior. That's not what it really means here. It's not what we do, it's what we become or what we literally are. You see, there's a righteousness that a man, fallen man, lost man can have totally apart from the law. Gentiles were never given the law of Moses. Amen? It was only for the Jew. That was the only nation that received the law. So we can receive a righteousness that God agrees with apart from the law, apart from any work upon our own part, any merit, any good works, anything, water baptism, church membership, whatever you want to call it, it cannot be earned. Now, Paul wrote later in Galatians 2:21, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness, that right standing with God, comes through the law, meaning any human effort, it says, then Jesus died in vain. Jesus died for absolutely nothing. Verse 22, he says, and even the righteousness of God through faith, and look at the object of our faith, in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, to all, on all who what? Believe. For there is no difference. There's no difference for a prostitute or the president or a pedophile or a pastor. All have sinned. You follow me? And we look here, and here is this righteousness. It's been revealed, but is a righteousness that also has to be received, and it can only be received by faith. There's no other way, and it can only be received by faith in only one person, and that person is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this gift of righteousness, nowhere else in the world can you get it, because only God is the source. Listen, it's to everyone, not to a few. Whenever I hear people teach, and I know they're sincere, I know they love God, but when they teach that there's only a few that God loves or that God actually saves, no, this righteousness is for anyone who will do one thing, if they'll simply believe in their heart and confess with their mouth. Amen? See, there's not just a few, loved one. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, every person in the world, that he gave his only begotten son. So all that we have to do, a person to receive this right standing with God, is simply believe in their heart. Now, the reason that this righteousness is required, look at verse 23, for a few have sinned. No, all have sinned. That's past tense. All have sinned from Adam all the way forward. Every person has sinned. And it says here that they've done something. They've fallen short, and that's present tense. They've come up short of the goal, if you will, of the glory of God. Whenever you think of the glory of God, what do you think of? Is it the Shekinah glory of God over the mercy seat like in Leviticus there in the tabernacle in the wilderness? Whenever you think here of the glory of God, fallen short of the glory of God, remember what it says in Hebrews 1:3, that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the embodiment, the exact express representation, or you could put it this way, the brightness of the glory of God. Jesus is that glory. In other words, he's the measuring rod. He is God's perfect standard. So if you want to judge yourself, don't judge by other people, judge by our Lord. Amen? And not only that, it says we have fallen short. Now, that's a picture, if you will, in the Greek. In other words, if I said, let's play a game, and the game is this, we're going to jump to Dallas, okay? Now that would be, who would ever want to go there anyway? But it's a game, all right? And we're never going to make it anyway, but we'll play it. We're all going to jump to Dallas. And let's say here's Harley. He comes up here with me, and there's Tim. He comes up here, and Harley jumps, but he just hits about 16 feet. But Tim comes up, he hits 35 feet. And then I jump, and I get 1 foot. We all jumped, but did any of us make it to Dallas? No, that's what it means to fall short. There is absolutely no way that fallen man could ever reach or B, measure up to the glory of God. Why? He's fallen. But look at verse 24 now. Watch this. Being declared righteous, being justified, that incredible, beautiful word. And look how it's done. Being justified how? Freely. That means without a cause. By his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, listen very carefully. You know, there are times all of us in our life, and especially a believer who doesn't really apply the Bible and study the Bible and know what God's word actually teaches, that we doubt that we're saved, and we keep trying to earn God's love. We keep trying to earn, God, I'm just trying to make it, Lord. Listen, it didn't say that we were declared innocent. It says being justified. Not declared innocent. That's a very important word. Adam in the garden, was he innocent? Yes, he was. He wasn't righteous, though. He was innocent. He was pure. He didn't know anything about evil until he partake of that tree. See, now listen, whenever a believer today, whoever that might be in any land that they may be in, when a person confesses with their mouth, becomes a Christian, and they are declared righteous, not innocent now. This means here that being justified elevates us above the Adam in the garden. It elevates man above every angel, every seraphim, every cherubim in heaven. It elevates man above Lucifer before he fell, who became Satan. Are you following me? We are God's children. And I think about that. I said, oh, Lord, now when you are justified, we as a body of Christ, every believer is seen as one in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And here's the deal. We are then given a position, or the position, as a son of God or a daughter of God. And we are then partakers of the very divine nature of God. Amen. Listen, Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, how in the world did you do that? Because it says being justified freely, and literally the Greek would mean without a cause. Without any cause at all, we've been justified freely. But it should read like this, without any cause that is in you, any cause that is in any fallen person. They were justified without a cause. What does that mean? It literally means that God saved us despite the fact that there wasn't any reason in us for him to save us. Do you believe that? It wasn't like he looked down and said, oh, I've got to save that person. No, we have all fallen short. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Amen? None of us. No, there's none that are righteous. No, we've all gone our own way. Every fallen person. Oh, listen, I look at that and I say, now, wait a minute. That means there was nothing in us or in me that causes God to want to save me? That's right. There wasn't any merit. There wasn't any achievement. When he looked upon me, he didn't want to look upon me. Why? Because I was fallen. I was covered in sin from head to toe. That's what we learned last Sunday. Amen? Oh, Lord, then how did you do that? Well, look at that word there. Justified us freely. How? By his grace. We know the word grace means unmerited favor of God. That means getting something that we do not deserve. What do we really deserve? We deserve hell, don't we? Yes. So God says, no, it's by my grace I'm doing this. I'm giving you something that you don't deserve at all. Listen, God saves only people who don't deserve it. And everyone in the world, they don't deserve it. Does that make sense? Now, look how our justification before God, look how it is accomplished. It says there, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, salvation is a free gift to man, but salvation is not cheap, is it? Not at all. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:18-19 that, you know, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, with the precious blood of Jesus. So the word redeemed there literally means to set free by making a payment, a price. Who made that price for you and me? Jesus. Jesus paid that price. There upon Calvary, our sin debt was not just canceled, loved one. When Jesus said it was finished, it was fully paid. That's why it says in Ephesians 1:7, it says in him, meaning in Christ. It says that we have redemption. We've been liberated. We've been set free through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Riches of his grace, that lavish grace of God, which means that God's grace, believer, will never, ever stop accepting me because his grace is lavish. It's abundant. Amen. Now listen, it says in him we have past tense, a past fact, a present reality. In him we have redemption. We've been set free. We've been saved. We've been purchased, if you will. Now, the thing that we need to know this morning is that there's no other way. In other words, redemption comes no other way. Outside of Christ, there is absolutely no redemption. And he says he's forgiven us. What if God could just forgive us, but then would not declare us righteous? Would that help us? No. See, forgiveness of sin, meaning for sins to be taken away. Far as the east is from the west. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away, takes our sin far away, completely away from us, the sins of the world. Now, it says in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus was our ransom. He paid our sin debt. He purchased us back, not only from death, from hell, from sin, and the devil. It says that he became a ransom in Matthew 20:28. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And what was the price of the ransom? Acts 20:28. God who purchased the church with his own blood. That's what saved his loved one. Now look at verse 25. It says, through whom, or whom God set forth, in other words, publicly displayed, if you will, it says, as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Now, the actual text reads, and this is very important, or we'll not understand this text. The actual text reads this way, faith in his blood. It is his blood, the blood of our Lord, that provides propitiation. It's not our faith. Does that make sense? Very important. Now, propitiation used in like the pagans and so forth was to offer some kind of sacrifice to appease the gods. And that's not New Testament propitiation. It's actually an Old Testament word that was used there throughout Leviticus. But New Testament propitiation and Old Testament propitiation literally means to turn away wrath, God's wrath, by the offering of a gift. And in our case, it's the sacrificial death of our Lord. Here in verse 25, where it says propitiation, if you have a center column reference in your Bible, you'll notice that that word propitiation is actually mercy seat. Jesus is our mercy seat. If you study out the Old Testament, where did God meet man? At the mercy seat. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? There inside the Ark of the Covenant was the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, that, then the rod that budded from Aaron, and then the golden pot of manna that people of Israel despised there in the wilderness. And on the mercy seat, which was made of pure gold, where God meets man, the Shekinah glory of God. Jesus is our mercy seat. You know, the high priest, whenever he would go in one time a year, remember, and pour out the blood upon or sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, that only atoned for sins. It never forgave sin, just atoned, covered them for another year. Because the high priest could only go in one time a year. But Jesus, what does it say he did? Remember, it says the blood of bull and goats can never, never take away sin. But in Hebrews 9, chapter 12, it says that our great high priest, he did something. It says that he went into heaven with his own blood. He entered the most holy place. Now that's in heaven for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now listen to me. That is one of the two greatest words ever found in the Bible. If you are a believer, you have been eternally purchased. Listen, that's a good word. Eternally, not just Well, you're not making it now. You did really well for 15 years, and now you're in the 16th year, and all of a sudden, you're falling apart, and I don't know. It's not, no. Listen, eternally purchased. Eternally. That means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And God cannot go back on his word because God cannot lie. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. We have been eternally redeemed. That's what the blood, that's what propitiation did for us. It says in 1 John 2:2, and he himself, meaning Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his son to be the mercy seat or the propitiation for our sins. Now listen, God told us in his word, he said, the soul that sins must die. God can't lie. That's his justice. You blew it. There must be a death because, see, God, he demands justice. He can't change it. That's why propitiation is so important. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:33 that the wages of sin is death. Can't get around it. There's no way. The soul who sins, you're going to die. So how in the world can God, who is perfect and holy, and God is light and God is love, God is perfect righteousness, how can he take a dirty, vile sinner to himself and not be dirtied by it? That's a very important question. You see, because God, he doesn't condone our sin. He hates our sin. He doesn't compromise his standards in the word of God. The soul that sinneth, you bet he's going to die. But rather than dismiss our sin and just say, okay, your sins are forgiven, everything's cool, he doesn't do that. He says, I have to be the just and the justifier. My demands have to be met. So instead of dismissing man's sin, all of mankind's sin, what does he do? He himself assumes all of mankind's sin. How? God sentences himself. Are you with me? He sentences himself. Jesus took our place. Christ is the propitiation then for our sins. He's our sacrifice. And on the cross, the wrath of God was poured out as the darkness came upon the earth, remember? Poured out from 12 to 3. What was that? That was when Jesus, our Lord, in that darkness was bearing or being made, not him personally, but he was the scapegoat. Look at it that way. He took the sin of the world. God pulled back the curtains. The Bible says that God cannot look upon sin. You know, when one of the Easter messages, the Resurrection Sunday message that I taught a few years ago, I don't know when it was, but I talked about where there upon the cross, those prophecies from Isaiah, that his face his visage, if you will, meaning his face, was not that of a human being, meaning our Lord. And that wasn't from the beating that our Savior took upon the cross. I believe with all of my heart the reason he was so disfigured that occurred between the time of 12 noon to 3 p.m. when darkness covered the earth, and as he was taking the sin of the world, it completely disfigured our Lord. That's what sin does. It says his face was marred more than any man. He did not even look human. He was becoming then the propitiation, if you will, for our sin. And when that happened, now listen, God's justice was satisfied because of what his son did for you and for me. So what does propitiation do? Propitiation now demonstrates the incredible righteousness of God. Look at verse 25 again. It says to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, meaning all of the sins before the cross, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but please tune in tomorrow to hear the conclusion to this message. Thanks everyone for listening today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org.
or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.